following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey guys, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 21. It's me, Gradle.
And Jason.
Today's record date is April the 15th, 2014. We've been talking a little bit before the show began. Both of us have been kind of not doing a whole lot, but Jay, why don't you tell us what you have done, and then I'll tell you just about as less than you that I've done.
Yeah, it's been kind of a thin week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Let me fire off with I updated my clients as usual. Everyone's always like, oh, that's all he ever does. That's right. If you had as many worthless clients as I have. I updated all my clients, but I actually played a little Secret World this weekend with the Holosuite Media crew. I got online with Dash and Myth, and I was playing my Templar, and we knocked out a few high-level things. Remember that area we were stuck in? Me and you were stuck in running that Transylvania mission. We couldn't find the Harrower.
Yeah,
I went ahead and Myth locked up on that one, and we knocked out the Harrower. It took forever because he had to catch up. We were like 3/4 of the way through that mission. Oh my god. But we rolled over that, and then we did a couple of others. But mainly everybody's into getting their auxiliaries, and they have this new side mission series in TSW that you can purchase that are... For those of you who don't play Secret World, it's a really cool game because a lot of the mysteries and the side quests and things like that, you actually have to go out and do real homework on. It's not in the game. You have to go on web and Wikipedia and a real encyclopedia and do homework to find out some of the facts. And that company is just amazing in how they put out their content. You know, they'll use the actual social medias. And they'll publish stuff in social media like Twitter or Facebook, and it's actually game-related. They'll be telling you stuff that's game-related that'll kick off an investigation mission. So I think there's 4 new side missions there. You do have to purchase them, but I suggest that they're worth it. And a lot of it's browser-based stuff. You have to walk up and hack a computer and then do some side mission stuff. So it's really interesting. And they did a whole bunch of those. And while they were doing that, I logged into MechWarrior Online. So for those of you, I try not to be, you know, harp on it, but MechWarrior Online is one of my favorite games, and it's coming along nicely. Clans is moving along. I think me and you talked about that, Gray. They've got the first screenshots up for the Timberwolf, which is beautiful. Timberwolf is one of the clan mechs. Gorgeous, gorgeous paint job. And it's really what I expected. I mean, there's no huge surprises for anybody who's played MechWarrior, the tabletop game, or any of the previous games. It's beautiful mech. I haven't seen it or piloted it, let's put it that way, and I can't wait to. But initially, it's best to go ahead and pay in and get the different levels of subscription pre-orders. And instead of just buying one mech for like $30 or $50 or whatever you can buy it for now, because they were running where you could purchase one specific mech, like if you just want the Uller or if you just want the Daishi or whatever, you could buy it individually. But I highly suggest buying the kit where you start at the light mechs and work your way up by buying different levels. And that being said, let me toss this one last thing out and then I'll hand it over. Sorry. This week they're running, I believe, from the 11th or the 10th, they were running forward a series of every day. They have their hero mechs, which are mechs that are a little bit configured differently than the other mechs. Plus, you can reconfigure it just like the other mechs. But what they do have is it earns you 30% more C-bills for every victory. So you buy these for MC, but these are all 50% off. And it's 50% off per mech per day. So each day they have one mech available. So I think they've already had quite a few of them. Today's on the 15th, tax day. Welcome, everybody. We forgot about that, didn't we?
Right.
So on tax day, it's the Gridiron, which is a derivative of the Hunchback. And it's a really good mech, and it's 50% off. I think normally it was like 3,600, and now it's 1,800. So 1,800 MC is a pretty good deal because you get 30% more C-bills. And, you know, you can make that back and purchase a normal mech in probably 2 to 3 weeks make that money back in C bills. So check it out. And that's pretty much all I've been doing. What you been up to?
Well, actually, I've got some questions.
Sure, sure.
As is usual, I've got questions. Crap. The mech that's, what did you say, the Arctic Wolf?
The Timberwolf, yeah.
Timberwolf. What is that? A biped or the...
Yeah.
Chicken walker.
Yeah, it's a backward. It is a two-legger. It's backwards facing. A lot of the clan mechs have that reverse chicken walk thing you're talking about, and it is backward facer. Generally, it comes with two pods of LRM-15s or LRM-20s. It's kind of your all-around do-it-all mech, which is why it's like posted every time you see somebody talking about the clans. Generally, you see either the Daishi, the Uller, or the Timberwolf is the three that you know. They're like the poster child of the clans.
So, but, is it kind of a mad cat looking?
It's exactly like a mad cat. So that's
okay,
exactly
so
what it looks like.
It's got the arms and the shoulder.
Yeah, the drop arms with the two pods instead of hands, and then the shoulder mounted missiles, and it has a that what's it called the catapult looking cockpit.
Yeah. Just kind of the cylinder.
Yeah, but
I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah. As you guys have obviously been able to deduce, I like BattleTech, but Jay is by far the resident expert. So,
oh, not expert, but you,
he's my that's... go-to BattleTech guy.
Love it.
And then the Secret World, I also play, although I haven't played in a while, like at least a month. So the adventure thing you're talking about, do you still subscribe to Secret World?
I don't subscribe anymore. It's a free-to-play. You have initially purchased the game, but it's a free-to-play once you purchase it, for those out there who didn't know.
Yeah, it is free-to-play, but the big content updates, which they call issues, if you're not a subscriber, you have to buy. But they're cheap. They're usually like $10 a pop, so no big deal.
Nah.
But the missions, the adventure pack, is that what it was called?
Yeah, it's a side adventure pack. When you purchase it, you also get, I think, what they call a chest of deep secrets or something like that.
Okay.
And I believe it's if those are familiar with Star Wars, it's like receiving one of those smuggler packs.
Oh, the cartel.
Yeah, the cartel packs.
I gotcha. Random, totally random. What's
yeah,
type
exactly.
Of gotcha.
Now, they'll generally have, like, money or something like that. Like, the last one I bought, I was for sure going to get at least, you know, 10 black bullion, which is what I needed to get my sword. But I actually got, like, 20, which was nice or something like that.
Wow.
So.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you said you were describing one of the missions. Are they all, what are those missions called? Research missions or?
Yeah, I believe they are called research missions or investigation missions.
Investigation. There you go. Are they all investigation missions or are they?
I believe these four are. I'm digging through real fast. I probably should have had this ready for you, but
no, it's totally off the cuff.
I believe all of them are
investigation
missions.
So I just wanted to throw Jay a curve. Like I said, I had questions. So,
yeah. Let me see. Funcom, you're invited to TS Warriors scenario this weekend. Here it is: investigation missions and epic rewards.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
like Jay was saying, these missions, guys, I'm telling you, I mean, you get your first one in Kingsmouth, which is your beginning zone, Kingsmouth, Maine, I think it is. And you have to go search the web. I mean, you cannot complete these missions without doing it. I mean, the game, even though, yeah, you can always alt-tab out, the B key in-game in the Secret World opens up an in-game web browser. I mean, you are expected to have to chase this thing down. And I can only imagine how tough the four extra specially side purchase ones are, because, man, the other one is crazy.
I can tell you that if you complete all four of them, you get rewarded with the Inspector's Gadget, which is an epic gadget which both buffs hit points and heals.
The Inspector's Gadget?
Yeah, I know. That sounds a little lewd, and that's why I like it.
Is it a trench coat or something?
what I'm looking at, there is costume parts, I guess you want to call it.
But the really?
Yeah, but the Inspector's Gadget specifically buffs hit points and heals. And you get a deep mystery box. That's how you get the deep mystery box, by completing all four of them. But, I mean, if you buy them, you're going to complete them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So... But I did look, and it said the new investigation missions, you get to go to New York, Egypt, Transylvania, and more. So
I'm guessing it goes. That was my next question. Where does it take place? Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Illuminati, Dr. Aldini, Mosul, and Orochi. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, remember, you know, if you really know your lore on the Secret World, the game was announced via a, I want to say a 6 month long AGR. Is that, no, ARG, alternate reality game.
Yeah.
That's how they announced the game. Funcom was like, hey, here's a clue about something. And 6 months later of searching the web, you know, finally led you to a site or whatever that said, hey, we're putting out a game. So
yeah, that is so cool how they did that.
About their investigation.
And every one of their characters, like they have major characters in here. Each one of the characters has an actual Twitter account. And you have to subscribe to the Twitter accounts to understand what's going on. You can't just subscribe to one of them, even if you're not part of that faction. Like one of the main characters in the Illuminati, she has a Twitter, and then one of the main characters in the Templar, he has a Twitter, and she'll tweet out something, and then he'll tweet out something, and you have to put those pieces together.
Is it your contact, like in the Templars? Yeah. It's that what is his name, Adrian or whatever, outside of the Crucible.
Yes, the big the British sounding black guy.
Yeah.
And then he's got one, and then the Gaia or whatever you call it, the Buzz, or I think it's called the Buzz, isn't it? What it's called. The sound that's made, the buzzing. Yeah. The buzzing, is that what it's called?
Yep.
The buzzing has its own Twitter account.
That's funny.
You're like, what? It's got its own Twitter account. So, yeah, I've been trying to actually get a collection of those. I have yet to get them all.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great game, guys. Check it out. For me, no surprise, I've just been playing Mass Effect 2, working on FemShep Engineer. And the Secret World. I have not been playing the Secret World. I've been playing the Elder Scrolls. Been enjoying that. Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man. Look at my Raptor page. I'm probably pushing 25 to 30 hours in the game. I don't have a character in the double digits yet.
Oh my god.
Now the game's not that hard, and it's not that slow. It's just there's so much to loot. I love crafting. I've been running around just looting and gathering everything I can come up with. Most of your recipes you have to find. You have to loot those. You don't go to a trainer and train up the next five recipes. So for me, that's just an awesome way to play the game. Now, I am questing and doing all that, and it's fun. But yeah, I'm just enjoying gathering and crafting. I talked about them last week, Elder Scrolls Reporter, part of the MMO Reporter Network. They're a pretty good podcast. They now that the game has launched, I think they're really ramping up. Like most people, before the game launched, you know, they did a show like every 2 or 3 months or whenever there was some big beta news. But they've got some good information. I do like those guys, and I'm just promoting them because here at Holosuite Media, we don't have an ESO show, so...
Yet.
Yeah, right. I'm waiting on Alistair. He's a big Elder Scrolls fan. I'm waiting on him to start one up.
Whatever. But, you know, you're going to bug out on me. Out. I'm going to be like, where's Gray? Have you checked out our new ESO online?
That's right.
Gray, no.
All right. Let's move on to news. I'll start us off. Warhammer 40K, the Eternal Crusade. Third-person shooter MMO that's been announced and is not expected until late 2015. They sent out a newsletter just a couple days ago. The big purpose of this newsletter is to let people know that, of course, the game's coming along, blah, 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 we're excited, blah, blah, blah. Well, what they're going to do, and I don't know why, but they are, they're going to give the fans a chance to... I don't want to call it support the game, but I will call it kind of pre-order the game.
Yeah, buy-in.
A buy-in. There you go. Exactly. They're going to buy in, allow you to buy into the game with founder packs. Yeah, I guess that's kind of cool. I don't know.
You're whiffling on that. I'm a little worried.
No, I'm psyched for the game itself. I can't freaking wait for the game. But the whole founder pack thing, I think it's just, I don't know why. It's obviously a way just to get some upfront revenue right off the bat. Maybe they can judge the fan level devotion of the game. I don't know. for me, I'd rather them just put the game out and allow me to DLC the stuff. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was gonna say, do you think, and this is just me tossing this out here, because I haven't seen anything about our subscription base. Have you?
No.
And that's my thing, is I was wondering if they're testing the waters for subscription base. Because people willing to buy in will usually at least subscribe for 3 months. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, here's my thing. Here's my thing on that. Third-person shooter, which is great. I love Mass Effect. It's a third-person shooter. I have no problem with that. 40K, I love it. I don't know about subbing monthly to a third-person shooter MMO. I don't know about that. I don't know if I would do it. Now, if they allowed me to just buy the game and play online, I mean, that would be fine. That's honestly what I'm expecting. That's what I'm hoping. Now, let's look at the flip side of the coin there. It's Games Workshop.
Yep.
Is the game probably going to be $60 on PC? At least. Is it probably going to have a monthly sub? I would not be surprised in the least if it did.
Can I throw something in here real fast?
Yeah, please.
Did you tear apart that first paragraph in the sub right before they talk about the unique rewards? If you take it apart piece by piece, it says, within the next few months, you will be able to buy a Founders Pack for Warhammer 40K Eternal Crusade. Not big. Now, this is what's important. Buying a Founders Pack will give you a full access to the full game at launch and all four races.
Right.
So what they're saying, and you can take this apart as a negative Nancy, but here you go. Will the full game be available at launch? Apparently not.
Apparently not.
What won't be available? Well, apparently not only the full game, but all four races, because they said and all four races. Mm-hmm. So does that tell you that they're planning on having a free to play with a subscription base that gives you all four? Because that's what I took away from that and the reason that I said it.
I agree with that.
I'm throwing that out there, because he also said at the very beginning, look at the level designers we got, and one of them, plug, came from the Secret World.
Yep.
And not just a chump either. Was it Patrick Villancourt? Yeah. And so Rainbow Six, you know, I mean, that's not crap. And Sean Bauer, level designer in January. So you're not talking about two chumps there. These people know what they're doing, and I don't know if, you know, maybe they're throwing that out there to cover these guys' pay. I don't know. But that being said, it sounds like there's going to be parts available and then other parts you got to buy. Microtransaction.
Exactly. And you know what? I can absolutely agree with that. because I can see, here's the game. Imperial Marines, Chaos Marines. Or, oh my gosh, I can... What if they release just Imperial Marines and Orcs? And you have to buy Eldar Chaos and the Chaos.
And then Great Devourer, and then what's the other one that comes out? Tau.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do the Tau.
I don't see them doing it without the Tau. The Tau have just been ingratiated into the system, but...
Well, and there again, though... Or, you know, they're talking about the Great Devourer, of course, or Tyranids. The Tyranids aren't going to be a playable race. Thank God. They're not going to be a playable race. And that's part of the newsletter, is they've said Tyranids will make up the bulk of your PvE experience. So it's obviously not going to be all constant battles between other player-based factions. I'm sure there's going to be, you'll log into like a lobby, or you'll hit a quest hub and, oh crap, you know, the Tyranids are attacking our, you know, Forge World, you know, let's go get it. But yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Jay. I think that they probably will drop the game with two factions, because you got to have at least two. You can't release just one faction. And then you're going to have to microtransaction the crap out of the other two, I'm sure.
Yep.
who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they drop the two and, oh, it's another $40 for the Chaos Marines, or, you know, who knows? It's Games Workshop. I don't know. But the Founder Packs, they, of course, aren't giving a level or a price on them, but they said they will include things like specific markings for your units. You know, if you're familiar with the Marines, the Imperial Marines, Space Marines, they have unit and squad type designations on their pauldrons, their shoulder pieces. They said you'll actually have a strike cruiser. I think everyone gets that, but you'll be able to get founder-only decorations and skins for your weapons and your strike cruiser. They even said there will also be founder-only vehicles. Now, that has me intrigued. Land Raider, please?
Yeah, Land Raider, or what's the scout vehicle, the flying scout vehicle?
The,
You know, the two-person Marine scout feeder? Yeah.
Land speeder.
The land speeder, yeah. I could see that. Or maybe even bikes.
The bikes and the land speeder, I could almost see as a base vehicle, because quite frankly, they're not really all that powerful. They are, but they aren't. But I could see like maybe a Typhoon speeder as a founder item. You know, it doesn't have the bolter. It has like the
crack missiles.
Crack missiles on it. I could see something like that, but it's still early in the stage. We have at least a year and a half before this game comes out. They've just announced the stuff today. We'll keep you informed as they drop more info on us, but you know, it is a game that Jay and I are both looking forward to, and you can go to eternalcrusade.com. They have some bare bones engine videos of what some of the stuff's going to look at. You can check it out. Jay, you've got some VG charts info for us.
Oh, yeah, I thought you'd be stoked about this. You know, as everybody knows, I go over the VG charts usually weekly, but sometimes I'll forget, but generally weekly. So there's four divisions, Global, USA, Europe, and Japan. So, you know, Global's a division of all three, and then you got USA, Europe, and Japan. Normally, I would say whatever's on PS3 is going to be smoking, or PS3, PS4 is going to be smoking everybody, because Japan puts, you know, they're almost disciplic about their love of Sony. And then, you know, then the Wii comes in, the Nintendo comes in, and then there's no room left over for Xbox and PC, typically, you know. But this week, USA and Europe stomp all over Japan with Elder Scrolls Online. We're talking about global sales of 253,000. So quarter of a million global sales on PC, which is the first time I've seen a PC game since Ghost. And even then, it took second place to the PS4 or PS3 version. You know, that's the first time I've seen it in months take a first top three. And it is in number one, with USA selling half of those, 127,000, and Europe selling 85,000. So that's just amazing. USA second place, Titanfall on the Xbox One, which we pretty much expected. And then Infamous Second Son taking number four slot. And then doggedly holding on, Xbox 360 Minecraft in the United States. I can't figure that one out.
I can't either.
It's just so weird. I mean, you have to buy it. It's $24. Now, it's free to play after that, but... it's not free to play. Anything on Xbox, you're going to have to pay for subscription, but still.
Right.
I mean, wow, you know? And in Europe... Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in Europe, same thing as mirrored. Elder Scrolls number one, Titanfall number five, and then the mix-up in the interim is similar, except that Diablo 3 on PC is still in the center, which I'm guessing is because of the add-on that sold recently, the Soul Reaper, I believe.
Yep, Reaper of Souls.
So I'm guessing that's probably why it's still in there. But in Japan, I mean, I can't say half the names, and none of them other than Mario Party Island and Metal Gear Solid 5 in the top five. Those are in the top five. So, but global, there you go. Number one, Elder Scrolls Online. Number four, Diablo 3. And in there is Infamous Second Son, Titanfall, which is completely believable.
I missed it. What were the numbers on ESO?
On ESO, it was a quarter of a mil global.
Wow.
And USA is 127,300, and Europe is 85,500. Both in first spots.
And of course, that's just PC for ESO.
Yeah, just PC. My point exactly. And it's going to. I'm not mistaken. They're releasing console for that, aren't they?
They are for PlayStation and Xbox. I know PlayStation drops in June, I think, or July.
So we should expect to see that bad boy reappearing quickly.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's like we said, it's one server.
That's
one
right.
Server, so all three platforms on one server.
And, okay, and just as a side note, I'm going to ask you this because, like, if I'm the MechWarrior guy, you're the ESO guy. All right, so it drops on, not having played any of it or even having looked at any of the online demos, because I'm sure they've already released them for the PlayStation and Xbox. I had a brain fart there.
Right.
Tell me, do you think, number wise, are those two, either one individually, going to beat PC? And if they do not, or if they do, either way, do you think that in any way the experience will be different playing it on a handheld?
Yes and no. I think that it will beat PC numbers because it was such a hugely popular game on PlayStation, on PS3 and the 360. Now, of course, a lot of people played on PC. I'm sure they did. But I think the vast majority of players for Skyrim were console-based. And I bet when it hits console, it's going to blow up. Now, your second question, will it be a different experience or will it be better on the console or better on PC? Personally, as a primarily PC gamer, I think it'll be better on the PC because chat. You know, if you've ever tried to play an MMORPG on a console, it sucks. Now, the gameplay is fine, but trying to chat, I mean, you either have to have... Remember PS3 put out, like, that little
keyboard?
Yeah,
Yeah, there you go with that one.
$50 or $60 for that thing. What a waste.
No doubt.
Or you had to be a chump and try and, you know, click on the chat bar and, you know, use your control sticks to move around the virtual keyboard. But I think that's going to be the only big thing that really makes it crappy when the console is communicating with PC gamers, just because of the chat. I mean, of course, if you play an MMO on the PC, it's second nature to hit enter, bring up your chat window, and you're done. You console players are more than likely, I'm assuming, going to be running around with your Bluetooths or your USB headsets plugged in and wanting to voice chat to communicate with other players.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I just got this. I've had this question on the tip of my tongue, and I've never had a chance to bring it out before, and now's the perfect time. I do not want to derail you. So let me just throw this out real fast, and then we'll talk about it later on, in a segment, I guess.
Sure.
Your Android phone has a little... I think you have an Android, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
your Android... There you go. So your Android phone has a little tap button that you click and you start speaking and it translates.
Right.
And mine is almost always correct now. There was a time when, you know, Dragon Naturally Speaking was the only way to get your message across, because anything else that tried to... I mean, I can't even tell you the Google message. I had Google, the Google record box that it had. You know, it would send me just garbage through my Google email that, you know, people right. have left me messages and I couldn't even understand it. But now with, I don't know if it's the better microphones or the better voice recognition software, and you have to be online to make it work, but it's almost, I'd probably say 83% perfect. Do you think that someone will eventually offload that, where you push a button on the controller, speak into a headset mic, release the button, it translates and types it in for you?
I would hope so. I mean, that would be great. That would be awesome. Here's what I envision, and I don't know if they'll do this, but here's what I envision. I picture PlayStation players and Xbox players having some sort of designation, whether it's graphical, whether, you know, it's a something that lets other people know, hey, this is a PlayStation player. Maybe their name is Yellow, you know, or maybe they have like an asterisk after their name. You know, something that says, this guy is obviously a PlayStation player. Maybe his name will be Blue and the Xbox guy's name will be Green. I don't even know. That's
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Something that says, hey, if you group with these people, you know what you're in for. Go ahead and swap over to voice chat, in-game chat, or whatever, and your grouping is fine. Now, the mod community for ESO is already up and running, live and kicking hard. I mean, I'm using four mods myself, and that's not even, you know, an eighth of what's out there. So I could even see, you know, someone modding that, the, you know, voice translation to text, and that would be great. Because I played DC Universe on the PlayStation, or I'm sorry, on the PC, and you would group with obviously PlayStation players because they just could not communicate with you. Hey, I need you to go over here and do this, or hey, let's head this way, and they just would not respond. And the only way we could communicate was emotes, you know, like nods yes or nods no or points over there. I would love to see that. That would be awesome, whether someone does the software or mods that. Voice to chat, voice to text. That would be great. That would make it so much easier, in my opinion.
It just seems like it's all there, you know? All the framework's there. I mean, and it's not like Google wouldn't love to pick that up because they want to know what we're saying online.
Right.
We know for a fact Sony and Xbox are recording it because we've already mentioned that in our podcasts.
Google's already reading our emails, so.
Yeah, really. I mean, come on, guys. Throw us a bone here. If you're going to be reading our stuff, might as well help us out in the games. Jeez.
All right, we'll move on. Guild Wars 2, a couple episodes ago, we talked about the big April feature pack launching. Now, apparently that was today. This is where we talked about you're going to share wardrobe pieces between all your tunes. You're going to share dye packs between all your tunes, and they're going to do the horizontal extensions on your traits where you choose, like, for instance, on my Elementalist, you know, air magic, fire magic, da 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 da. They're redoing all that. And also, Guild Wars 2 is doing something new. They're moving everyone to a mega server.
Ooh.
Just like, yeah, you're all going to be on mega servers. Now, you already could, at your login screen, you know, move your tune to another server to play with a buddy, but I guess that's a moot point at this point.
Mega server. Yeah, we did that. Me and you did that with
Galactrix.
Galactrix, that's right.
Or no, it was Dion Soul.
Dion Soul, that's right. Yep. We moved our characters over and played with him for a little while, and then when we logged off and logged back in, we were back to our original server.
Exactly. Now I actually patched the game today and I jumped in, and now granted, my tunes aren't high level. I don't have all the costume pieces and whatnot, but I do have traits. And I saw no difference. I couldn't see anything about this big feature pack happening. Now, I read some stuff online before the show, and it said, you know, that what I got from the gist of it was that they were still actually implementing certain features of it. So maybe when I checked in, you know, early afternoon today, it actually hadn't been implemented. But if you are a Guild Wars 2 player, run that patcher and I guess enjoy the mega server.
Yeah, man. Oh, yep. Can I say something real fast?
Yeah,
I thought
about
something. I didn't put it in the show notes, and it just hit me because I was thinking about you, man. The PlayStation Online store, didn't we talk that earlier? I think are they online or offline right now? PlayStation Network's up right now, right?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed one of the games they had this week for the subscribers that you get for free. One of the, you know, if you're a subscriber, download it and you get to keep it games. Did you see what it was?
No.
BioShock Infinite.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what? BioShock Infinite for free?
For free.
Oh, that hurt my feelings. I want to, because I'm not subscribing right now. We were broke because I had to fix my car, but oh my God, dude.
Yeah, that's a big giveaway. But, I mean, when did that actually drop?
Yeah, but I mean, they had that in Arkham Game of the Year, I believe. Wasn't it Batman Arkham City. Game of the Year?
Arkham City,
yeah.
Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what I noticed. I can't remember the last one, but there was three AAA titles. Now, admittedly, they're a year old, but they're still like, you know, $15 at GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's three AAA titles. I mean, everybody's hammering GameStop, man. Walmart's taking used games. PlayStation's giving away the stuff that they have used for free if you join. That was what I was throwing out there is all the good games, especially the ones like me and you like, are being given away if you got a PlayStation. Is Xbox doing that? Because I don't have an Xbox subscription, so.
I don't know. Now, I mean, with the PlayStation Plus, you know, that's like, when I had it, it was $17, I think, for 3 months. And I guess now it's $5 a month?
Yeah, it's $5 a month, so like 15 okay, so, for 3 months.
You know, $5 a month and you get Arkham City and BioShock Infinite. That's worth a month or two right there.
Yeah, I would be surprised in about 6 months to see Assassin's Creed 4 or something hanging out there.
Right. Huh, that's cool. I didn't know that. When you said that about BioShock, I think I have seen that recently. I don't know where, because I haven't really played on my PlayStation at all, but that's an awesome game. If you have if you're able to get it, check it out. That is a great game. And any of the Batman Arkham series, you've heard me talk about it.
Oh yeah.
Numerous times. That is a great one. Alrighty, well, so we'll move on news. To yeah, I know. It's our last bit of news. I put this in the show notes, and I'm a fan, but not a huge fan, and you wouldn't know it to look at me because I'm not wearing white makeup and my hair's not dyed black. But CCP, the company that does EVE Online, announced officially yesterday, I believe it was, that they are officially shutting the door on the World of Darkness MMO. Yeah. You know, they've had the license, I guess, to work on this for years now. I mean, 3 or 4 years. And, you know, E3s come and go, PAXs come and go, game developer conferences come and go, and nothing ever really gets said about World of Darkness. And they said what they have eventually done is they've laid off 54 people from the division or whatever that was working on World of Darkness, and finally just said we can't do it, we can't put the game out. So
oh man,
I know
it's gonna be Gothpocalypse out there, I'm telling you.
Right, Gothpocalypse.
Lengthways. Not a cry for help either.
That's right. You know, I never played any of the World of Darkness stuff, which I wanted to play Vampire, Tabletop, Werewolf. Werewolf, yeah I knew some werewolf guys. It seemed like a really awesome setting for an MMO. You know, like I said, I've never played the tabletop stuff, but for me, when I think of World of Darkness, I think of Underworld, the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that would be just freaking awesome to play in. Really bummed to hear that. So, as far as I know, the license is not going to anyone else to develop. I guess it's just going to...
No, THQ bought it.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. Me,
oh,
sorry.
Woohoo! Oh. Oh. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not a huge WOD fanboy, but it seemed like a really cool setting. I really wanted to play the... oh, crap. What were they? The Lemurias? The artists? Their symbol was the rose, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to play one of those guys. Aww. be all heart artsy and heartfelt. But whatever. Who knows? Maybe someday someone else will pick this up. I don't even know.
Hey, they even had like a show based off of it for a little while. The World of Darkness. They had like
did they?
Yeah, they had like a little mini. I can't remember if it was a mini series or something, but they had like all the different clans and everything. Uh-huh. And yeah, dude, it was like what? And so I guess that, you know, they could pull enough revenue from that either.
Now there was a like a single player World of Dark or Vampire game, Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Now I never played that either, but I talked to a guy who has, and he said it was great.
Yeah, actually, it had pretty good following. That I think they modded it too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Modded it for like graphics or story.
Yeah, well, they extended out the storyline with some mods. So, I mean, you know, you could front end their game and then mod whatever, you know. People trying to pull that, the whole Neverwinter Nights thing where you make one engine and, you know, multi-games. It was very dated engine, unfortunately. You know, it was right at a transition phase. Well, and, I mean, that thing's like, late, no, it was early 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to say it was in the aughts.
Yeah.
I want to say 07 or 08, if that.
Yeah, and it, like I said, it was dated because a lot of the graphics cards were changing over at that time. And it was hard to get a graphics card that really worked well with the system. And then when the graphics card had that big generational change, the game didn't work correctly with them. So,
Outer Frame
was into it. So,
well, I know it's still on Steam. You can find it on Steam, and if it's on there, I'm sure it's coded to work on current level current machines. But I'm sure you can find a ROM of that thing somewhere, or something, some sort of not endorsed by hollowsweetmedia.com pirated copy. I'm sure it can be found somewhere. All right, well, that's going to about wrap us up for news. PAX East was going on this week, but even coming out of PAX, there wasn't a whole lot of news, and I think a lot of people are holding off because they were sending their guys to PAX or whatever. So we'll see what happens next week, but we're going to move on to geeky stuff.
Yay.
Even then, we don't have a lot, but Jay has something for us, and it's all you, buddy.
The combat description cards that we talked about, what was it, two episodes ago?
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah, we talked about those. For people, we weren't really divided. It's just, it's your play style. If you don't like, you know, if you like to run your own descriptors and you're very well and easy into the storytelling mode, or you're very comfortable with your group, then telling a story and describing it is more a give and take thing. So it's not needed. But if you're one of those DMs who gets dropped in the middle of a group, or you just got finished fleshing out the story because you got no time, you know, and you're dropped in the middle of it with all your friends and you don't want to let them down, you can get these combat descriptor cards. There's only 4 hours left. Jeez, I think that was 4 hours, 2 hours ago, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's like 2 hours left for those of you who are not going to have time to go see it. Anybody who's watching our live show at the PulseCast Holosuite Access Media channel, run over there right now and check out the Kickstarter projects for combat description cards for storytellers and GMs. And they've hit all of their physical goals, every single one of them. It was like all they had to get to was, I think, 30-something thousand for all their physicals. And they've blown past that into like 42,000, which means, and here's the news, they now are doing $10 licensed apps for mobile devices. And the picture shows an iPhone, but I'm under the impression that they're also going to be doing Android Store. But
yeah,
basically,
I would hope.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping so too, because there's that. Typically speaking, unless you're worried about the whole heartbleed issue, then you should be available to get this. But basically, it's a digital representation of all the cards that you would purchase had you purchased the physical thing. And a $10 license is a really good deal there. I personally like to hold them in my hand, but you know, I could also understand, you know, also dropping $10 if you like the physical copy into your phone, having it with you in case you just didn't want to pack all the cards, or if you just wanted to save space, or if you're riding on the bus and you want to get an impromptu game going or whatever, you know. But the fact that they're doing that is just really cool. So you know, you got your dice rollers like mine. You have to actually have to roll the phone, and the dice make a noise and you roll dice. So, right. You know, now you got your descriptor cards on there. And for anybody who wants to see this, it's really cool. It allows you, they give you 160 different, four different divisions of 40 cards, blunt, piercing, slashing, and what am I missing? Blunt, piercing, slashing. There's one more.
It.
No, there's one more. Blunt, piercing, slashing. I can't remember the fourth one, Dago, but I'm sorry. But anyway, there's four categories. They give descriptors of things that would happen had you used that type of weapon in a combat. They don't use words like blood. They use words like fluid in case you're fighting a monster that doesn't have blood. They don't use arm, and they use the word appendage in case it's a, you know, an ooze rather than a skeleton. Or they kind of just generify the stuff so that you can use it under anything and just quickly, bam, you've got it right there. So anyway, check them out. They're worth it. I like supporting people who have ideas that we can use. So there you go.
Very cool. Update on some of the Kickstarters we bring to the forefront of knowledge for you.
Yay!
Alrighty, well, that's going to about wrap us up for tonight, guys. Thanks for joining and listening in. You can find me on, let's see, I just recently updated some stuff on Raptor, but Raptor, Steam, the PlayStation Network, crap, and I can't even remember what the other one was, but all of those I'm listed as Teletech 77062. If you're playing ESO, shoot me a friend request at Graydoll, G-R-A-Y-D-O-L-L.
And you can find me along all those same lines, be it Steam, Sony PlayStation Network, Raptor, and I'm sure there's one more out there. Oh, yeah. And by the way, thank you for looking me up there, Arclight. I'll definitely hook up with you on Raptor. Check us out. I'm Jason, J-Y-S-Y-N-N, and you can find me on there. So there you go.
Thanks, guys. Hell Hydra.
Take it easy. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.